Okay, let's dive right in. Have you ever looked at giants like Apple or Alphabet and wondered why they keep, billions of dollars parked overseas? I remember it was big news back in 2019, right? When Alphabet actually overtook Apple as the most cash rich. What's really going on there? Is it just a massive safety net?
That's such a great starting point because it plugs directly into the whole world of international corporate finance. It's a realm where financial decisions are, frankly, way more complex than just dealing with things domestically. So much more at play.
Exactly. And that's what this deep dive is all about. For you, think of it as your shortcut to understanding these global financial maneuvers. We're going to explore currencies, exchange rates, and the kind of unique risks international companies face, and how that might even ripple back to you. So first up, the absolute core, foreign exchange, FOREXS. If you've traveled, you've done swapping one currency for another. That price, that's the exchange rate.
Right. And you'll see different ways it's done. Sometimes it's direct, how many dollars by 1 euro, sometimes indirect, how many euros for $1.
And you've got spot trades, where it happens, well, pretty much on the spot, usually within 2 days, versus forward trades, where you lock in a rate now for a transaction later on.
Which brings up a really interesting point. What keeps these rates consistent across different markets? What stops someone from, say, just buying low here and selling high there constantly?
You mean like arbitrage?
Exactly. You might hear about triangle arbitrage. It sounds fancy, but it's basically spotting tiny split-second misalignments between three currencies. Imagine, hypothetically, turning dollars into Swiss francs, francs into euros, euros back to dollars, and ending up with a tiny bit more. Risk-free.
But that sounds too good to be true.
It pretty much is in practice. Those chances disappear almost instantly because traders jump on them, and that very act pushes the rates back into line. It shows just how, well, efficient these markets usually are. It's not a viable strategy, but it tells you the system is working to find equilibrium.
Okay, so if tiny glitches get smoothed out instantly, what drives the bigger shifts? The longer-term changes in exchange rates? I'm thinking about things like purchasing power parity. PPP.
Yeah, PPP is a key concept. The basic idea is that a basket of goods, or even just one item, should cost roughly the same everywhere once you adjust for the exchange rate. Think of the economist's Big Mac Index. It's a fun way to see if a currency looks over or undervalued based on burger prices globally.
So if a Big Mac is way cheaper somewhere else, their currency might be undervalued against the dollar.
Sort of, yeah. And taking that further, relative PPP suggests that the difference in inflation rates between two countries is a big predictor of how their exchange rate will move over time. So if inflation is running harder in, say, Mexico than in the U.S., you generally expect the peso to depreciate against the dollar to kind of even things out price-wise.
Okay, so inflation differences point to future currency moves. What about interest rate parity, IRP? How does that fit in?
Good question. They're tightly linked. IRP essentially says the difference in interest rates between two countries should be offset by the difference between the spot and forward exchange rates. Let's say interest rates are much higher in the UK. You might think, great, I'll convert dollars to pounds, invest there, earn more interest, then convert back.
Sounds like a plan. Free money.
Well, IRP says no. The forward rate to convert those pounds back to dollars in the future will likely reflect that interest difference. Any extra interest you earn would probably be wiped out by the less favorable exchange rate you locked in for the future. It stops what's called covered interest arbitrage, basically. Risk-free profit just from interest rate differences.
Got it. So the market kind of balances out the interest gains with the future exchange rate. No free lunch there either.
Yeah.
But these parities, they sound like theories. The real world must be messier, right? There's actual risk involved.
Oh, absolutely. Theories provide a framework, but reality involves risk. Exchange rate risk is a huge one. Think about your Impasta brand example. You agree to pay your Italian supplier in euros in 60 days. If the euro suddenly gets much stronger against the dollar before you pay.
Ouch. My pasta costs just went way up, even though the price in euros didn't change.
Exactly. That's short-run exposure. Companies like IBM have reported losing hundreds of millions in a quarter just due to currency swings. It's a serious factor.
So how do they manage that? Just hope for the best?
Definitely not. They actively hedge. Using those forward contracts we mentioned is common, locking in a future rate. Some companies also use natural hedging. Like BMW, they build cars in the U.S. partly to sell in the U.S., so their dollar costs help offset their dollar revenues, reducing the net impact of exchange rate moves.
Makes sense. Match your costs and income in the same currency where possible. But it's not just about market fluctuations, is it? There's also political risk.
Yes, absolutely. Political risk is about value changes driven by political actions or instability. Think about Brexit. The vote itself caused massive swings in the British pound and UK stocks almost overnight. Or, coming back to your first question about Apple and Alphabet.
The cash overseas.
Yeah.
How does political risk tie into that?
Well, think about the U.S. Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. That was a major political action. Before that law, the U.S. tax system created strong incentives for companies not to bring foreign profits home. So they accumulated massive cash piles overseas. We're talking trillions collectively.
So it wasn't just about avoiding currency risk. It was a direct result of tax policy.
Primarily, yes. The 2017 Act significantly changed those incentives, leading to a huge wave over $1 trillion, reportedly of that cash being repatriated back to the U.S. That's a prime example of political action directly impacting massive corporate financial decisions.
Wow. So firms manage this political risk, too.
Wow.
They try. Maybe by demanding higher potential returns for projects in countries seen as politically risky. Or structuring investments so the foreign operations still relies heavily on the parent company, making it less attractive for, say, confiscation by a new regime. It's complex.
Yeah, and it really is a web.
Yeah.
From, you know, split-second arbitrage potential that barely exists to long-term inflation trends, interest rates, hedging strategies, and then these huge political shifts. It's all connected.
It really is. International corporate finance sits right at the intersection of global economics, markets, and politics. It shows how deeply interconnected everything is. What strikes me is how those academic ideas, like tax implications, directly led to visible outcomes, like Apple and Alphabet holding those enormous sums abroad for years.
Definitely puts it in perspective.
And it leaves you thinking, doesn't it? Knowing all this, the currency risks, the impact of inflation, even political shifts, how might that change the way you think about your own next international decision? Maybe it's budgeting for a trip, looking at an overseas investment, or even just understanding the background behind the price of imported goods you buy. What feels different now?